All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Faith Rising podcast. This is your host, Jeff Lamberts. We really, truly appreciate you being here. Hopefully the lighting isn't too crazy. It is super bright outside and I have to have the window blinds open just to absorb some of that beautiful sunshine because we don't get enough of it in the Michigan winter. So welcome back to another episode. Those in the Southern Hemisphere, kudos to you. Maybe someday I'll be there with you. We have a special guest today, West Michigan business owner, local West Michigan resident, went to university here in West Michigan. Her and I actually have a little bit of a history. We met each other about 5 years ago through some potential business opportunities that I was into. And, you know, through just the way that things work out, we reconnected not that long ago. She's been incredibly, incredibly patient with my crazy schedule. Sometimes my plate just gets too full and I bounce things around and I get bounced right off of it. And anyway, I want to welcome her here today, Gabriela Garcia, local entrepreneur, and she also has her own podcast, which we might touch on at this episode as well. So Gabriela, thanks for being on here. It is awesome and truly a pleasure to have you. I welcome you on here. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your story. You know, I could give you a glowing 10-year history, 5 year history, but most people like to hear it directly from you. So share what you want to share. We'll go from there and we'll get to learn about you.
Sure thing. Thank you for having me on. And again, I think the patience goes both ways. I am a single mom of two kids. I want to say that first. So if you hear any stomping around or false emergencies, that's who it is.
We understand.
Yeah. Who, 7 and 4. So just to give you a little perspective.
Okay.
Yes, I work with my grandmother at Connie's Bridal Boutique. I run that shop for her. We do all kinds of stuff. We are kind of a Michigan kind of household name. Connie's Bridal has been open for 30 plus years. And I feel like every year I say 30 plus years because I've lost count. We have owned it for the past 10 years. And now I'm venturing into small business consulting, as well as we are now splitting the shop into two. So now we're opening it into a retail collective where I'm providing a space for small businesses and minority entrepreneurs to come in and have a space where they can have their product or their services kind of. I reformed it to better fit our new normal, which has to do with COVID and all that stuff, to kind of give us a little bit of the better side of things working together. Like you said, I also have a podcast that's called Mental Mondays, and we talk about mental health, just destigmatizing and just having a conversation, which I think is the most important thing. I would say that my main purpose for my jobs and my consulting is to create a space of empowerment for those around me. And that really has been my drive for the past 10 years.
That's absolutely awesome. And I think that's wonderful that you're doing everything that you are doing with Connie's Bridal, opening up that retail collective space and the Mental Mondays, the podcast. We talked a little bit about that ahead of this. Such an important thing, especially in what you called our new normal, which a lot of people are referring that to. I hope that it goes back to the old normal at some point. But I feel like for the next couple of years, it probably will be this way. People are suffering. People are struggling with a lot of mental health, a lot of anxiety, a lot of things surrounding who knows what's going to happen. You know, the normal that we've known for as long as we've been alive for most of us, flipped, you know, 12 months ago, 14 months ago, whatever it was. And, you know, we're all struggling with things and not really understanding and realizing what the future looks like. So it's important to talk with that, especially from a man's perspective, from me. You know, we a lot of times are afraid to, you know, put ourselves out there and say, hey, we're struggling as well. Hopefully that becomes a new normal where we all can admit it, speak openly about it, and get the help that we need. Retail Collective, I want to jump back into that real quick. So what are you kind of focused on there? You kind of, I think you touched on a little bit in the minority market. Are you looking at specific, anybody can kind of come in, or does it have to kind of vibe and jive with the bridal boutique type of environment?
Yeah, this is not focused on just bridal. It's
okay.
It's mainly focused on small entrepreneurs, whether they're new or just smaller in size, that do not have a access to a brick and mortar store. So they would come in and I handle inventory for them. So they'll tell me, you know, for example, they sell t-shirts. you know, they'll give me their inventory information. I upload it, and through the Square platform, point of sale platform, we advertise, we market for them. We cross market because, you know, we're building our family of other entrepreneurs and other businesses. And they also have the opportunity, you know, we handle payment processing. Mm-hmm. And the customer can order online and pick up, just as if you were picking up at like Olive Garden. So you'll go online, sure, to our website, you'll pick, you know, I want this t-shirt, I'm going to pick it up Friday at 6 p.m. And just to ease it up, there's no contact, or very limited contact, if anything. Just see how that works. It's a little bit of an experimental thing where I'm working back and forth with each entrepreneur. I have some artists that are also working with me. That would be a little bit different. We now have an in-house photographer, who is fabulous, and it's just slowly growing and being very tailored to each and every one of my entrepreneurs.
That's awesome. We'll get some contact information for you toward the end of the show here. I know you already touched on one of the things I'd love to ask, and we'll circle back to that too, is your purpose. And you kind of touched on that. I'm curious to know, and if you're willing to talk about it a little bit, your past, is this is the Faith Rising. We want to talk about how faith, belief in a higher power, some sort of spirituality has affected, you know, how we do things, how we operate, what has brought us to where we are today. Are you comfortable talking a little bit about kind of your past and your childhood and maybe faith, lack of faith in your parents or anything like that? I know that your grandmother probably plays a huge role, considering you work with her or for her. Is it with her or for her?
I work for her and with her. I call myself the executive granddaughter.
Nice.
Job, yep.
Is that on the back of your name when you're your business cards, executive granddaughter?
When I introduce myself, I'm like, hi, my name's Gabriela. I'm executive granddaughter for the past 31 years. So.
That's fantastic. Yeah, if you're comfortable sharing with us, that's, I'm sure she's played a huge role in your life. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, my grandma has played a huge role. And I will touch back on the spirituality if you want. First.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I was raised Roman Catholic.
Okay.
I attended the cathedral downtown when we first immigrated here to the cathedral, and then we moved to St. Francis Xavier.
From where? Where did you immigrate in from?
Sure. I was born in Mexico City, and then we moved to Monterrey, which is kind of like the South, quote unquote. And then we moved up here to Michigan.
Okay.
So from third grade. I think it was like 95, 93, 94, 95.
Okay. Directly to Grand Rapids?
Directly. I think it was Kent County. I went to
the Grand Rapids area.
Yeah, right around here. Okay. I haven't left within the 20 minutes as far as being here.
Yeah.
And I was really, really into church. And spirituality and Catholicism. I was actually in the choir, and I was a catechism teacher. I taught I don't know if you're familiar with the quinceañeras. So when they're 15, they kind of, the girls kind of, it's kind of like they come out and they have a big party, and it's a tradition that you're kind of you're introducing your daughter into the dating world, but it's kind of more evolved into your daughter's now turning into a young lady scenario. So there are catechism classes for those young ladies. And then I also did catechism for First Communion for the little ones. So I've always was pretty involved in the church. And after kind of doing some of my own kind of soul searching, I just had some really deep kind of conflict with kind of my home base. And even though I love and I relish all of the traditions and the core beliefs of the church, I just couldn't continue to kind of like feed into the negative aspects that was kind of finding out on my own. But spirituality is still a very big part of my life. Yeah.
So how was it you came to, was it just the fact that you were always in church, you were involved with the church from a young lady, and you just kind of naturally worked into being a catechism teacher, catechism for the young girls going into their quinceañera, or is it preparing for that? Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Preparing for it.
Is that something you did willingly, or something that you were like, hey, I'm already here, might as well just do it?
No. I loved it. Okay. I loved every moment of it, and I did it willingly. I started out with the choir.
Okay.
As many of us do. And And then as I started to get more and more involved and met more and more people, then, you know, you kind of start exploring what else is there. And I love children. Mm-hmm. And I just had a really good connection. And, you know, as kind of being on the younger end, the kids kind of just gravitate towards you. And that's where it kind of started to grow. You know, you start to help during mass and then you start to be more involved and mm-hmm. it just kind of snowballs onto there. And it really was a really beautiful experience. And I cherish all of those little moments and all of those opportunities that I had while doing that.
That's awesome. You kind of left off in kind of segueing out from this, but I wanted to just touch on that real quick. You got a little older and started to realize the negatives in the church, or didn't really, as you were kind of getting older, learning more about life. How did that all come to be, and what happened there?
I had a huge, it was a pretty severe disillusionment with, I think just the actual construct of Catholicism and kind of how they like to hide the negative aspect of what's happening. Okay. You know, it's a very like, shush, don't say it, don't talk about it. And me being especially fond of children, it just does not sit correct with me.
I understand.
That space. And to kind of be a cheerleader for that space when there isn't like safety guaranteed for everybody.
Right. Right. Yeah. We most of us remember, you know, was it 10, 15, some odd years ago when this thing started to come out, and major thing. Yeah. And the hush hush for many, many years. So where does that kind of put you now? Have you come back to it at all? Are you finding yourselves in a different area of your beliefs and in not aligning with Catholicism, but something else?
Yeah, I would guess I am a much more broadly spiritual. I am just exploring all levels of spirituality.
Okay.
On a more, I don't know what to say, like a more free flowing base.
Okay.
Where it's anything from actual like major religious guides, so you know, like whether it's Jesus or Buddha, or you know, just like as a study. And as a reflection of how I live my life, mm-hmm. or, you know, to energy and to like how all of that actually plays, you know, a role in that, and also balancing it with reality and science and how just, mm-hmm. I'm just, I guess I would name myself just religiously curious or spiritually curious.
So it sounds like you're looking for more information. You're just constantly in a self-education type of thing and just correct. Acquiring knowledge. Yeah. Is that pretty accurate?
Yes. Okay. I'd love to kind of do that.
One thing I noticed with most of my guests, and not all of them, including the, you know, former pastor of the church that I am a partner with, he's one of the prime reasons that I attend there, is there's a unique journey. And I like to reference it to the hero's journey or the pilgrim's promise. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that at all, but this story of you're in a place, you have these things, and you kind of go off and you're not necessarily, you know, when I say the hero's journey is like you go off and you have this epic journey and thing, but we kind of, when we become teenagers, most of us veer off from a path that we were brought onto because, you know, our parents were our largest influences. And then when our peers and friends become our larger influences than our parents, we kind of go off. And did you have some challenging times, we'll call it that, where you kind of veered off into a direction and you kind of look back now and you're like, man, that's a story, you know, and it kind of eventually you came back around to, you know, where you're at right now, you know, bringing you back to where you are right now. So,
yes, as I'm kind of like thinking about it.
Sure.
Yes. I will. And I will pause for a second and say, I didn't realize my computer is dying.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want me to run and get my.
I'm going to go ahead and hit pause right now, and then we'll pick up when you're back. Let's stand by for our. We don't have any sponsors, so just stand by. So I appreciate you being patient with us as we kind of made sure our devices were connected. Thanks for still being with us here. So as I was asking, Gabriella, is kind of tell us a little about the journey. You know, maybe kind of getting away from the path that you were on as a child, as her parents were influences. I think she was about to share, and there was something you mentioned ahead of time. I don't know if you want to touch on that, having to do with memory and those kind of things. I don't know if that's, maybe we can kind of lead into that as well. I'm sure that'll be a good point for people to hear. So
yeah, for sure. I think it was actually the first big kind of shake I had. Instead of distancing myself from spirituality, it drove me a little bit deeper. So when I left, I started to get really involved with the church after I turned 15. So during freshman year of high school, and then it just kind of started growing. Mm-hmm. Once I got into college, that's when I was teaching catechism. However, during my end of the freshman second semester, I had a suicide attempt during that. Okay. And during that time, I had a really deep kind of spiritual awakening right there that really cemented my faith and my beliefs at the time. And I just kind of went in a little bit deeper. Instead of separating from the church at the time, I went a little bit deeper, and I just kind of felt a little bit more, you know, when you have those awakenings, you feel a little bit of a deeper, more personal connection, like a literal connection during those times. And then I would like to say, as after I got married, during that, you know, it's really good for a little bit. And then once it starts to deteriorate, when you're not with the correct person,
sure.
That's when I started to question, you know, literally question everything. And then that's where the separation became from the Roman Catholic Church.
Okay.
When I started to re-question everything from, you know, my partner at the time, mm-hmm. to what I believed in and the, you know, the actual church, and how that is affecting my life or the people right. around me.
Well, we all have these moments where, you know, as they say, the darkest, it's always darkest before the dawn. You know, we have experiences that will either pull us further away or lead us closer to God or our faith or our beliefs, or change our beliefs entirely. And, you know, for a lot of people, there's been a couple of those. So I will just say that I'm glad that you're still here. You know, I'm glad you weren't successful in that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're successful with Connie's Bridal and everything else with then. And that's a major, major struggle that, you know, challenges that I'm sure brought you into doing your, what do you call it, Mental Monday, you know, eventually coming back around to that and then going through whatever experiences you had, obviously with the wrong person for however many years that was. So as far as is, you know, recently in looking at that, you know, you have a wonderful relationship with your grandmother. How important were your parents in this growing up with you? I haven't heard that much, but I've heard your grandmother. So
yeah, my family is a fully matriarch family. So my grandmother and my mom are a huge influence. Like I said, you know, I worked with my grandmother when I was elementary, middle school, high school. I was always with my mom. She worked in the radio. She worked in the radio industry. So I was always out and about, and I look quite a lot like her, so we were just kind of twinning around here and there. So they definitely have a huge impact on what I have been exposed to and how I deal with positive things, negative things. My father's been, you know, out of the picture, you know, I would say thankfully out of the picture in a nice quiet spot. He's still living in Mexico. I do have contact with my uncles, which is great. They are, one of my uncles is deeply spiritual. He's very Catholic. He was at one point going to become a priest.
Okay.
To kind of give you like a spot of where.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah. So there are definitely some heavily spiritual people in my family. However, we are much more, my grandmother and my mom are much more liberal in how they raise us. So, you know, they're not very, you know, strict in what we have to do. They're thankfully have allowed us to explore and to express ourselves as far as religion and spirituality. But yeah, they're the most influence I've had is from my grandmother and my mom. Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. So my next question I usually ask is, you know, top three people that were influential. You just hit two of them right there. If you had to pick out a third, a person that really, really influenced the direction of your life, was there for you, thick and thin, good, bad, all of the above, who would that be? even if it's recent, even if it's the last 2 years. So
yeah, I would like to say my current partner.
Okay.
We were a year apart, and we went to the same high school, and we ended up reconnecting last year, and really been a nice, logical, very empowering support.
Okay.
It blows your mind. I don't know if you kind of have had that difference when you have a partner that is actually compatible with you. After being through trauma, it just kind of blows your mind for a little bit.
Somebody who's patient, somebody who will listen to you, somebody who hears you, somebody who wants to talk with you, wants to hear your story. Yeah. And it's like, hey, let's sit down and talk through this. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, it just kind of blows your mind. And you're kind of, you're in moments of like, oh, what is this? You know, what is this? And it's like, oh, everything's okay. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's like a disbelief almost. Yeah.
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 So the two of you met in high school?
He actually, because I was 1 year older, I didn't realize he even existed until later.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's funny because he has memories of me. However, I don't. Not only do I have a horrible memory, but I just don't. I was very introverted and kind of kept to myself in high school. So I don't remember, but he's like, I can't believe we're together, and I used to know you in high school, and then just, you know, decades later, it turns out we are who we are to each other. Mm-hmm.
Did you find out the interesting fact, which may or may not be the case, that, you know, in high school he had a crush on you, was too afraid to talk with you, anything like that?
Well, he's not one to be too afraid to talk to anybody, but he did say that, he's like, you were just so cute, he would say, but I just never thought anything would come from that.
Well, how's that for timing, huh? If you guys had met in high school, who knows if you'd have been reconnected at this point.
Yeah, and honestly, after all of this, after being at this point in my life, I really think that everybody goes through the things that we have to go through, and you meet your person, even though like you would have wanted to meet them earlier, you wouldn't be that person if you hadn't gone through the shitty stuff or the bad stuff.
Absolutely. So
I really appreciate like all the shitty stuff now, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to connect with the people the way I connect with them right now.
It doesn't give you the perspective. It doesn't give you the appreciation. And then being, you know, we do change. The one constant in life as a juxtaposition of terms is that change will always be there. And I'm not, you know, I mentioned to you prior to just filming here, I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago, let alone 5, let alone 15. You know, I talk with my current partner, and we ran in the same circles. You know, we're finding out that we have a lot of mutual friends, and we're in a lot of the same places at around the same times. And I would not be surprised if some photos at some point came out where we're standing 5 feet away from each other. We always joke about it, at the same place, concert venue, whatever, talking with somebody else, but we're both clearly in frame. So I'm glad we didn't meet back then, because it wouldn't have worked. You wouldn't have liked me. I probably wouldn't have liked you. You know, it's just, you go through these life changes, these journeys, and you come out of it a different person. So that's pretty fascinating. And it's really cool. So the last year has really been challenging for a lot of people. COVID, obviously, nobody could have prepared for that. Nobody knew what to expect with that. Question usually gets a lot of people, like, aside from COVID, what's been the biggest failure in the last year, in 2020? And why do you think that happened? Business or personal, either one of those. So
I think my biggest failure was not gauging how much I can actually do.
Okay.
I love saying yes to everything, and I get very, because of my personality, and we're currently working on a bipolar diagnosis, which means, you know, I have these really, I thought were great ups.
Okay.
Fantastic ups for me.
Right.
That's where you take on a lot of stuff. So to me, my biggest failure was saying, yes, I can do all of these things. And obviously you just can't, it's impossible to do, you know, multiple things at once at the level that I felt reflected me or was appropriate for the person or the activity. So that definitely was a hard lesson to learn, that one, I, even when you're feeling like this is amazing, yes, I can do everything, you still have to put on the brakes and be super realistic about things.
Okay. All right. As far as is, you know, affecting business in the last year, your beliefs, your spirituality and faith, how has that really affected your business in the last year? Because a lot of people have struggled, a lot of small businesses, even institutions that have been around for 30, 40, 50 years are no longer open. What have you leaned into to kind of weather the storm, if you will? And we're still weathering it because we're not done with it yet.
It's what has been the hardest realization is that when things get hard, people say they're going to help each other, but they don't. And I definitely don't say this from a place of misunderstanding. I do understand that people, sometimes you just cannot. But it's disheartening to see so many people kind of, you know, suck into themselves, including ourselves, you know, ourselves as in like the business, the shop, our family, where I feel like we needed to regroup. And I stopped for a minute after, you know, there was definitely a depression and really sad moment where everything was like, where everything is closed. Yeah. You can't have customers come into your store. And that's our main thing, right?
Right.
After that period of, I let myself wallow for a good amount of time, I will say.
Okay.
You're like, you know what? I believe that helping each other and being helpful to others is what's is a pillar, and it's what's gonna help bring me up and bring other people up. And I just went back to that original, to one of those core beliefs. Like, even though it's disheartening to see that some people that I expected or some other, even if it wasn't directly related to me, they're not helping each other, I'm still going to go back to that. And it's been a positive change, even though it hasn't been, you know, I'm not rolling in millions, whatever the benefit has been definitely yet, has been worth it, because I've built it on something that I can definitely be comfortable and happy with.
Yeah. That's good. And we all deserve the time to wallow, if you know, as you will, because if we're nothing but positive all the time, I mean, how can we really admit and, you know, be honest with ourselves that sometimes life sucks and sometimes things suck, you know, you have to accept it. And then the fact and the important thing is that we're able to move on, into the business and kind of building a comfortable business. I guess with that, I'm considering Connie's has been around for as long as it has. What was your inspiration to get involved? Did you purchase from, I guess I'm unfamiliar. Was it part of a family business you bought into? Was it something else that was here? I don't know the history of it. And how did you get involved?
Connie's was owned by she max 5 foot tiny Vietnamese woman. Her nickname was Connie.
Okay.
She was great. She is a powerhouse of a woman, because it takes 2+ people to run the shop, and she was running it by herself.
Wow.
And my grandmother, when she immigrated here a couple years into her stay, she started working with her. And as the time went by, when Connie was ready to retire, my grandmother brought up the idea of us purchasing that business. And I was totally in for it. One, because my grandmother and I worked so great together.
But you weren't involved at that time before she was able to retire. You were not involved. Okay.
No, I mean, I would go visit and I knew about it. I was familiar with the shop, but I wasn't involved until we purchased it.
Okay.
And when we purchased it, it was definitely, you know, as far as involvement goes, 50-50. We cleaned up the shop, we rebranded it, all that good stuff. But yeah, it was, we purchased from her. So it was an existing business that we bought, rebranded, and dusted off and just kind of represented it to the community.
Okay. Okay. And how has it been, you know, so you said 10 years ago, did you say?
Yeah. It was 2011. Has it been more than...
Yeah. It's been 10 years, 10 years this year. And I imagine aside from maybe last year, you know, with everybody suffered a little bit, struggled a little bit, you've probably been doing really well and you're still here. So I know a lot of companies don't do as well when there's a new ownership, you know, and some do. So I'm glad that you're still on the success side.
We definitely benefited from a lot of word of mouth, you know, referrals and things. We were very spoiled in that fact that mostly purchased that shop because there was such a large word of mouth following, which is what kept us afloat that first year or two, where you see that businesses are kind of, you know, looping, you know, they're going down because of the new ownership. We didn't struggle with that as much because we were not only upgrading it, but because of the current history that the shop had.
Sure. Sure. Well, have you kind of switched any sort of specialty or anything? And you just keep, you know, just, you know, spruced it up a little bit. Have you changed directions in any way or?
Oh yeah. Okay. It was a big switch. It was definitely a shop. It was a smaller shop, a little bit more, like budget and almost thrift store ish kind of store. And we've turned it into, we call it a boutique. It's okay. A family friendly, it's a family atmosphere boutique. We're not stuffy. You know, we love to love on our customers and we're very, you know, we educate them through the whole process. We're very open and transparent. We focus on a lot of custom work, which means that we deal with a lot of brides. We call them minority brides. So anybody who isn't, you know, a size 4 or 6 with unlimited money, you're a minority bride in that space.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that might actually be the majority because, you know, most women don't fit in those categories anyway. So
they don't. However, when you're selling for fashion, they still count us as the minority. So they're producing for, you know, the designers are producing for upper middle class white women who are skinny and all this stuff. And even though that's not most of us, they're still producing for that.
It's very, very targeted, very tight. So I'm glad that you're there then. That's absolutely fantastic. What are some of the other things that have really kind of, I guess, is there anything that you, why would somebody want to come visit you aside from what you just listed?
I think the main reason is finding a bridal shop it's like matchmaking.
Okay.
You have to connect with the person who's helping you because at the end they're trusting you with a big thing. So because we're so transparent and we're so careful and I spend quite a lot of time studying my, my designers. Mm-hmm. So everything that is there has been literally like combed through and made sure that that is available. And I'm not going to give you, you know, a dress off the rack and you're purchasing it for $200 and that's your budget, but then you're going to bring it back and I'm going to charge you $600 for alterations, which has happened. It happens quite a lot. And that is just a thing of, you're just missing information as a consultant. So because I work so closely with my grandmother, who is a master seamstress and, you know, she's just amazing. She's been doing it all her life. I can really help you, help my brides and my customers be very educated in how much things are going to be, what is really going to fit you. Do you have a body shape that you're not really seeing represented, and is something going to fit you properly? Because it mostly can. It just needs, you know, usually it needs a little bit. You'd be surprised how much a half an inch lift can make on a outfit.
Okay. All right. Well, that's awesome. And considering where you are then, how do people get a hold of you? You have a shop. Are you open for, like, you have to call to set an appointment at this point, or is it like walk in? And
yeah, we are definitely not walk in. We are through appointments only. So you can find us. I just made a new website. So I believe it's theboutiqueacollective.com.
Okay.
And I will have all that.
Send me the link and we'll post it all on here. So
yes, you can, and right on there, you can book your appointment. Mm-hmm. And it's a 1-hour appointment. And because we're appointments only, it's just your party. Okay. There's nobody else is coming in and out.
That's awesome.
And you can also do a virtual consultation, and all of this is free, by the way. We don't charge for that. For the appointment. So you could do a virtual consultation if you just have questions, or you can come in and take a look. I can also help. And if my brides are ordering a dress online, I would much, much rather help them pick a dress correctly than, you know, be pouty and selfish and send them off and they buy the wrong dress.
Yep.
So I do help my brides if they want to buy a dress online to kind of guide them and measure them and give them a little bit of feedback as to how that would work for them.
Okay. That's awesome. Do you have a phone number you want to give out too, or?
We don't. We actually rarely used it.
Okay.
We rarely used our phone number. So it's just the website. But again, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram, on websites. And that literally goes right through my phone anyway. So.
Okay. Awesome. Just like most of us, you know.
Just like most of us, yeah.
So what if you were in my shoes and ask yourself a question that I haven't asked, what would that be?
Huh. I feel like you've asked some really, really great questions.
Well, thank you. I'm not paying you, by the way, to say that.
No. And I say that being from, again, years of hearing my mom interview people.
Okay. Yeah, that's incredible. It would be great, I think, to have her on if available. It sounds like grandma would be a great guest too.
Oh, my grandma.
She'd be a riot.
I don't know if you remember, but she doesn't even like to say she works at the shop. She's something else. I wish I could really get her to be there to speak, because she has some good stories.
Sure.
I think if I would like to say anything extra would be, as far as being an entrepreneur and a new entrepreneur, that we don't have to follow that in the box system for growing your business and for starting your business. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to go about it, which is probably a reason why we're becoming entrepreneurs, because we have a different way of doing things. And when I was starting to do the business, I was confronted with a lot of the same answers, right? This is the list. You do one, then you do two, then you do three, then you do four, and then you're a millionaire. But that's just not how it works. And some people just don't want to get there. For example, my grandmother doesn't want to get there. She's a serial entrepreneur. And this is kind of her, she just doesn't not interested in expanding and having, you know, a million staff, or even more than me at times. I think the most important thing is, just as long as you do your research and you're comfortable and you have some connections that you are really trusting and are open and transparent, then you to go about however you want to grow your business into whatever you want to grow your business. That would be kind of like my main takeaway from being an entrepreneur.
Awesome. Yeah. Us as entrepreneurs, we don't like to be put in boxes and necessarily follow lists that somebody else tells us we have to do. So, which is probably, like you said, what brings us here. So do you have a favorite phrase, a favorite verse, a favorite saying that when you're kind of down in the dumps, that brings you back up, or when you're at, you know, at zero, it'll bring you up to 10, you know, and it just kind of really lifts your spirits.
I remember I had a really good one for a while, which was, you know, we're here sitting waiting for the world to change. I don't know if you heard that one. You know, sitting here waiting for the world to change, but it's actually the other way around. So the world's waiting for you to change it.
Hmm. No, I'm not familiar with that. That's good. Where is that something you came up with, or you heard that somewhere?
No, I've seen it. I would tell you, I probably saw it when I had a MySpace account.
Only a couple of years ago, right?
That's just recently. I probably saw it when I had a MySpace account, and that just stuck with me. So
that's instead awesome.
Of waiting, it's just you, and really just do it. I think the good old Nike thing, all of us are just so wanting to be so perfect, and everything looks so perfect. And we look on Facebook and we look on Instagram and everything looks perfect. But the main thing is to just get it out there. And your
customers. Those are all filters, kids. We don't use those on this show. You see us raw, you see us real and who we are, you know, whether I haven't shaved in a couple of days or whatever, the hair's a little messy. You know, we don't use filters here because we want you to see us who we are.
Yes, exactly. So that's, you know, and especially in the bridal industry, filters for literally everything. But just put it out there, and your customers and your audience will help you tailor the experience. And you'll be able to say, yes, I agree with, you know, what they want, or that's a new idea, or completely change. But it's literally just put it out there, test it, adjust. And it's a never ending cycle, which I think for me is super exciting, because everything is new. When you tell a customer this and they say, yes, I like 90% of it, but what about this? Or they like 100, but they still want, you know, something new that you've never even thought about it.
Right on.
That's the newer one.
Two final questions there. I've been eyeballing that guitar in the background. Do you serenade your guests when they come in for a consultation?
No, this is my partner's, one of my partner's guitars.
So he does, he'll play a song when they come in.
I would hope so. Maybe I can, I'm like, please come in and serenade my guest. That would be awesome.
That would be very cool. Final question here before we got to wrap up, just on time and everything. You touched on it earlier, but my question I always wrap up with is, what do you feel your purpose on this planet is? And I know you touched on it when you first started talking. So
yeah, again, after some soul searching these past 2 years, I've realized that my purpose and what I really kind of shine, if I, as being a recovering Catholic, I don't like to talk about myself, but where I really shine is creating a space for people to be themselves, to be feel empowered, whether that be through business coaching or for my brides and my customers, you know, whatever they want. If they want a purple dress, if they want to have a little shop with only one person, if they want to have a 10-foot train, I am there to help them feel empowered in their decisions and in their visions.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Gabriella, I really appreciate you being candid with us, open with us today on the show and the podcast. We really, truly appreciate it. We'll get some links from you on your business and how to get a hold of you, how to set a consultation, and anybody who's out there, definitely look her up.
Yeah,
set up a time. If you're planning on getting married this year, next year, you just got engaged, you're getting engaged when you see this, talk to Gabriella, talk to her grandmother. The place is absolutely fantastic. So, and maybe if you're lucky, maybe I put a bug in your ear now that your partner is going to bring his guitar in and serenade your guests.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't count on it though. I don't want to make any promises until it actually is on the menu. So
I'll just send him the podcast.
There you go. Really, truly appreciate your time. I got to take off and get out of here though. I really, truly appreciate it. It's been wonderful reconnecting with you, hearing you on here. And thank you again so very much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care.